BZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. Suspect in custody. Authorities in Utah say they have detained a 22-year-old named Tyler Robinson in connection with the murder of conservative activist Charlie Kirk. Utah Governor Spencer Cox telling reporters minutes ago.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We got him.
Family members alerting police that Robinson might have been involved. Governor Cox also talking about Discord messages from Robinson's former college roommate.
Messages related to visually watching the area where a rifle was left, and a message referring to having left the rifle wrapped in a towel.
Investigators discovered a bolt-action rifle wrapped in a towel in those woods behind the building where it happened. The rifle determined to be a 36-caliber bolt-action rifle with a scope mounted on top of it. FBI Director Kash Patel says law enforcement caught Robinson within 33 hours of the shooting. This is ABC News.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. Wisconsin lawmakers are again talking about their safety after the assassination of right-wing figure Charlie Kirk. Kirk was shot and killed from 200 yards away during a speech in Utah on Wednesday. And months ago, Minnesota State Representative Melissa Hortman and her husband were gunned down in their home, while another state rep and his wife were shot. It's got lawmakers thinking about how to keep themselves and their staff in the Capitol safe. Assembly Minority Leader Democrat Greta Neubauer says security decisions are in the hands of Republicans.
Given the recent rise in political violence, of course, this is top of mind for many of our colleagues and, of course, the staff who work in the Capitol as well, the press, the guests, the children that come through this building on Capitol visits. So it's an ongoing conversation, and we hope to continue that with our Republican colleagues who, of course, control the safety in our chambers as well as the other entities in the Capitol.
Assembly Speaker Robin Voss says he's open to lawmakers using funding for their offices to increase security at their homes.
I am very confident in the police force that we have inside the Capitol. If you look at the incidents that have occurred, frankly, when you look at Minnesota, it was in their homes. If you look at what happened yesterday with Charlie Kirk, it was in a public venue on a campus. So the idea that we're somehow going to fortify a single building to make people feel safer when the reality is that most of the violence that has occurred has not been inside a government building, it's been outside or at people's home. One of the things we have talked about is the possibility of people having using their office account for security at their home. You know, if they want to do that, I'm open to that idea.
The Assembly has already started its session after a summer vacation. The Senate won't begin again until October. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. This is Civic Media News.
The Badgers in Bama. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. College football. The Wisconsin Badgers play the Crimson Tide for the first time ever in Alabama. Tomorrow morning, they kick off in Tuscaloosa, 11 a.m. Last year, the Badgers lost at home to Bama, 42-10. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
Well, this is one of those ones that I know guys, you know, had circled for many reasons, right? Obviously, the way things went last year, but also for the idea, like, look, there's nothing more that you want to do as a competitor than be in the, you know, in the biggest games and the biggest competition out there.
NFL, the Packers are now 2-0 after beating the Commanders last night on Thursday Night Football, 27-18, despite missing two of their starting offensive linemen, Matt LaFleur.
I thought what was pretty impressive is missing two starters, although Jordan Morgan I consider a starter as well. It's tough sledding at times.
Baseball, the Brewers and the Cardinals tonight at American Family Field with sports on Mike Clemens.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. More clouds than sun. Comfortable temperatures with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, chance of a shower or thunderstorm. Lows in the upper 50s. On Saturday, a bit of patchy fog early, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 82. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Louisiana versus Calais, C-A-L-L-A-I-S, could deal a death blow to the impact, the power, the capacity of the Supreme Court to decide Voting Rights Act cases. This is one of those times when the Supreme Court needs to hear from the public about the appropriate resolution of this major case that could compromise the Voting Rights Act going forward beyond Louisiana.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'll be on a covert operation. But we've put together a Best of Green Bay show featuring Dan Marcus, Eric Westfall, and Laura McKenna. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation, resting, relaxing. We'll be back before you know it, but you got me today. You got the sweet Cal B, the board lord, the Calvinator, this Calvitini. I think that's all of them. But he is on the ones and the twos. He's here with us today. And of course, the wonderful, the sparkling, the effervescent, the award-winning Angela Lang is the founder and executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Community. She has been our co-host all morning and will be here throughout the rest of the show. We're talking about a lot of things. You can be part of that conversation by calling or texting. It's the same number, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Lot going on. We said earlier that we were going to have Bennett Goldstein on the show at 10:06 to talk about his article in Wisconsin Watch about the food share program in Juneau County. Unfortunately, Bennett was not able to join us anymore, so we will hopefully get him rescheduled for another time, because I do want to talk about that issue, because that program, the cuts made by the federal government, how it's affecting our farmers, our families, our community, our hungry. This is something we need to talk about a lot, but yeah, hopefully we'll have Bennett on sooner than later, and we're going to keep this conversation going. In the first hour, I'll give you a really quick recap. First hour, we opened up with some breaking news. There has been an arrest in Utah. A suspect is in custody in the shooting death of Charlie Kirk, which took place at college campus on Wednesday in Utah. Right now, all we know is his age, 22 years old. He is a white male, Tyler Robinson. He was turned in by a family friend or family member who saw him on television, and currently cable news is spinning that into 3 hours of content, but good on them. But that is what we know right now, and we'll give you more as we find out. Stick here with civicmedia.us/news, where we're going to be reporting things as they come in. And we were talking to Angela about a flurry of things, our thoughts on the whole situation with Charlie Kirk, how it is possible to hold two thoughts that are both true and fair. What it means for our country, how America is reckoning with our past all of a sudden because of the death of this right-wing commentator, and what that says to the greater quote-unquote good of our society, all sorts of things, including a protest, Angela, that you whipped together along with people, you and friends, you and colleagues, you and coworkers, you and supporters, protested the police protest. If you want to listen to all that, I'm not going to give you a total recap. Go to civicmedia.us/shows. Find Matt and Aaron. Yeah. Find Matt and Air on Air. You can download the first hour of this episode today right now and put it right on your device and listen to everything we've talked about. But I'm going to keep the conversation kind of where we're at in the from the first hour and the second hour. And we were talking before we went to the news break. We talked about the article that you wrote for the Recombobulation Area that was put out on the 9th of September entitled "Weaponizing the National Guard is Fascism." And I'm going to stop there and let you talk. Go ahead.
Yeah. So a little bit of like my writing process is I am not the most creative when it comes to like headlines and titles and stuff like that. So I always kind of work generally with Dan and try to come up with something. But I put this as a placeholder, weaponizing the National Guard as fascism, just like as a placeholder, didn't really think anything of it. But it's also like, that's what it is. Like, it's let's cut to the point. And it's not lost on me to understand what is happening currently in DC, what has happened in LA, and then now Chicago. And I'd always been concerned, just given our proximity to Chicago, just a short little train ride, you know, up the street, right, to come to Milwaukee. And to have the police association almost seize this as an opportunity, as leverage for their contract negotiation, to me is only another piece of the puzzle in fascism, right? And I'm not going to say I'm like our good friend Matt Rothschild, that's like an expert on fascism, right? I haven't written books or anything, but I took a couple college courses. And one of the main tenets of fascism is using the military on its own residents and its own citizens. And so to have already law enforcement that don't really have a good relationship with the community saying we're going to further militarize your community. So not only do you have local law enforcement to be anxious about, but they're also calling in the military. And I think it's interesting to say that they wanted to call in the military because it's basically saying that they're not doing their job, that they need reinforcements. But then simultaneously, in the same breath, they're calling for a nearly 13% raise.
Yeah.
So all of that doesn't make sense to me. But this article was really inspired by when I was on the Maggie Dawn show a little while ago. I'm on every other Tuesday with her. And this kind of started to be the topic. And I texted Dan and I was like, I don't know if you saw the first 30 minutes of Maggie's show. This is the op-ed. I've been kicking around an idea. I was like, this is it. Because I think, you know, when people think of the National Guard, I think people think of like, oh, yeah, well, there's crime. And of course, it's going to be helpful. This has nothing to do with public safety. And it has everything to do with trying to get residents and civilians to submit to the government. And largely Black and brown folks, it is clear that the Trump administration is targeting cities that are not only Democratic cities, but cities with Black mayors of Milwaukee. Has one. And so I wanted to kind of connect these pieces that, you know, law enforcement is not a lot of people's friends. They're not my friends. And to have them adding to this agenda, right, of basically this Trump agenda of trying to have these militarized occupations of Black and brown cities is only just being a tool, not only for white supremacy, but for fascism.
And something that's really kind of, you know, rattled around in my brain listening to all of this discussion, especially when it comes to Milwaukee, because that's where I live closest to. And that's where I actually live almost smack in the middle between Kenosha and Chicago. I mean, between Kenosha, Chicago and Milwaukee. But, and I remember when you were on 2 weeks ago, we were talking about this. We were talking about this thing because J.D. Vance was in La Crosse. He was addressing a bunch of people in La Crosse. Not people in Milwaukee. And I want to play that clip for you really quick. Calvin, can you play that clip?
Is Milwaukee a super safe city right now? It's had some crime problems. It's a beautiful city. There are a lot of beautiful, incredible, hardworking people who live there. But let's be honest, Milwaukee has had some crime problems. So have other parts of our community. Chicago, I know we're not too far from Chicago. Chicago's had a lot of crime problems. Why is it that you have mayors and governors who are angrier about Donald Trump offering to help them than they are about the fact that their own residents are being carjacked and murdered in the streets? It doesn't make an ounce of sense.
So,
not to make light, but it's like the Mean Girls clip. She doesn't even go here.
stop trying to make Milwaukee a thing.
Stop trying to make the National Guard happen.
oh, man. Thank you for that. There's a bunch of I wanted to play that clip because there's a bunch of things in my brain that I want to unpack from what you said to what he said to the whole situation. first of all, let's start here because we got a caller 2 weeks ago who wanted to bring up the crime issue in Milwaukee. Yeah. Every community has crime. And I remember who it was who called. I remember having the conversation. I remember pulling up the information from the Milwaukee Police Department itself, showing that the crime in Milwaukee, especially violent crime, has gone down. That's great. Let's applaud that for one thing. But if the crime, and you live in Milwaukee, the crime is not bad enough, in my opinion, especially if it's going down, that would necessitate the National Guard. If you would need the National Guard, it's because I'm thinking of literally like a comic book type of problem happening. Like the like big boss. Yes. Like Gotham is, or zombies. And I'm not even saying that to be funny because that's when I think of the National Guard coming in the city. I'm using that to paint the picture of when we bring in the troops, it's because we have this overwhelming force that is truly getting the better of us and we need reinforcements. Milwaukee's crime problems, their statistics, I'm not going to say crime problems, their crime statistics do not suggest that we need that kind of help. And if you, as whether it's the police chief or the mayor or the president of the police union, who I don't know why we're looking at him for, like, it's the mayor who needs to talk to the president about this and maybe the police chief themselves. Or wait, Alex Ayala is the police chief, isn't he?
He's the police association president.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what I thought. So, if there are such problems, that to me says, no, don't call in the National Guard. Talk to our elected representatives, our local and state and federal, and work on a set of parameters that would have investment from the federal government come in and help with programming that would help bring the crime down, whether it's substance abuse, whether it is gang violence, there's a whole host of things. There are ways of doing this. Sending the troops in isn't the way to fix this. No. It will stop it for a moment. And yes, of course, crime in D.C. has gone down. When there are 2 and 3 people with machine guns on the corner, when there are ICE agents at train stations asking people for their IDs and where they're going, of course, crime is going to go down. You know what else is going to go down and what's going to leave? Business, investment. Yep. Opportunity, people,
tourism.
It is. I have a friend who has a house in D.C. I don't know how they do, but they do. And they said that their home value has gone down. I think it was 10 or 15% because of this. Mm. So you're not only trying to intimidate the people, you're trying to crush their economies. If you really want to make a real change, if you really want to help with crime because you care that much, then you invest in the communities through dollars and activism and organizing. That's how you do it. And by the way, as a one last aside, the way J.D. Vance paints it is so disgusting. As, well, I don't understand why they don't want our help. Shame on you. Shame on you, sir. You are not that dumb, the guy who called Donald Trump America's Hitler. I just want to reiterate that point. But you really want to help with crime, folks? And folks, I've been wanting to say this for a couple of weeks now, Angela, and I want to say it now here with you. I've noticed that a lot of people who used to call and say how Donald Trump was doing an amazing job and how he's winning aren't so much, because the things we're talking about are becoming exponentially worse in his unfettered and unabashed attempt at taking over as the national cop of this country. They can't defend it, because if they defend it, they're in support of it. And they're in support of anti-American sentiment, rhetoric, and actions, period. Phone lines are really quiet on that one.
I mean, it's really interesting that folks that are like, oh, freedom, or even folks that advocate for the Second Amendment because they want to have the Second Amendment against a tyrannical government. What are we doing here? We're real quiet.
Yeah.
Now that's the whole argument for the Second Amendment, right?
I thought we were making America great again. Nobody out there? Okay, cool. Okay, awesome.
Phone lines are open.
855-752-4842. Change my mind. Make it make sense. I want to see you give me some information. I want plausible, data-driven information that says that America is getting better. And don't give me the stock market, because I can get into 3 hours on that one. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Text in the word family on your Civic Media app. When we come back, we're still talking to Angela Lang, our co-host for today. She is amazing. go read her article in the Recombobulation area. Weaponizing the National Guard is fascism. When we come back, keep on talking, be part of the conversation. Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay close.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
This year, the magic is calling you like never before. Craft your own magic at the Wicked Wand Workshop and race for glory at the Ninja Warrior Challenge. Feast on hearty turkey legs and cheer on live combat jousts. There's something for everyone in our magical village. Bring your family, bring your friends, and create memories that will last through the ages. The Minnesota Renaissance Festival, weekends August 16th through September 28th. Don't miss the adventure. Get your tickets at renaissancefest.com.
No more mold. No more damage. No more slipping and hurting. Make your ordinary bathroom extraordinary for only $99 per month. New shower, new door, new tub, new wall, new anti-slip technology. BCI Bath and Shower is made in America for the highest quality. First 50 callers save $1,500 on a never-clear glass treated door. BCI Bath and Shower. Interest-free financing options. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115. 800-329-4115.
Does Donald Trump's big bill provide the largest federal spending cut in U.S. history? No. Spending cuts in the bill that Trump signed wouldn't be the largest ever, despite claims by Republican U.S. Representative Scott Fitzgerald. The original House version would have nominally cut over $1.6 trillion over 10 years. The final version cut even less, $1.2 trillion. With $4.5 trillion in tax cuts, the act will increase federal debt by a massive $3.3 trillion over the next decade. Nonpartisan analysts say the plan's cuts would rank behind a 2011 law's $2 trillion in spending cuts. As a percentage of GDP, it doesn't rank in the top 5%. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinair, who is currently on vacation, resting, relaxing. But don't worry, she'll be back before you know it. And I'm here with you with Sweet Kelby on the boards and Angela Lang, who is our co-host for this morning. She is the founder and the executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities. Talking is difficult, all right? It's difficult. You try it sometime. She's here talking with us today about all the news going down, including the breaking news out of Utah and regarding the shooting death of Charlie Kirk. The suspected gunman is in custody right now. 22-year-old Tyler Robinson from Utah is being questioned by the police right now. We're learning more as we go along. But as far as we know, we know his name, his age, as well as the fact that he was turned in by a family member when they saw him on television. But stick close to us. We'll have more information because we have a lot more programming coming through as well after us, after Matt and Air on Air. It's time for the Tom Hartman Show from 11 to 2, where you will have a chance to enter to win some Brewers tickets again. And then after that, it's going to be Todd Alba from 2 to 4. More ticket availability. Same with Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Same with Pete Schwabba and Nightlife. You've got so many chances to win. All you do is take out your Civic Media app, and every time you hear a new keyword, you text it in correctly, and then you're entered in to win. Today, this show, until the end of this hour, your word is family. F-A-M-I-L-Y. I had to think about that, Angela. I am terrible.
I saw the look on your face. Well, good thing it's radio. But unless you're on the Civic Media app, you know.
Unless you watch on the live stream, which we're on Facebook, YouTube, and the site we still call Twitter. Yeah, I had to look a moment where, you know, when a computer reboots for a second, you're like, yeah, there we are.
Yeah, yep.
We're talking about everything going down, including also a protest that Block put together to protest the police in Milwaukee. An article that Angelo wrote for the Recombobulation Area entitled Weaponizing the National Guard is Fascism. And, you know, again, when you're on the show, I wish we had 7 hours because I feel like we could fill every minute and still need more.
Sure can.
Because, I mean, this is something, and I want to go back really quick to something I just said. And I know I came off snarky. I get it. But we're not getting a lot of people calling to defend him anymore. Yeah. I'm not saying they've changed their mind. I'm just saying they can't outwardly defend him because it's difficult, because the moment you defend it, you have to personally reckon with the idea that you are saying that the man who's standing in that office saying vile, hateful, terrible things about various people, groups, cities, organizations, you name it, anyone who wrongs him is against democracy, against America, the enemy, essentially. You're all the enemy, whether it's the media, whether it's nonprofits, whether it's, you know, city mayors, cities on the whole, they're all the enemy. And at what point do you become the enemy? Because you won't be good enough one day that your devotion will not, because at the end, because no matter who calls in to defend it in the past, I'm going to bet top dollar they're not billionaires. Because those are the people who will be left, the people who can give.
Yeah.
Even those folks who are diehard MAGA with a picture of Trump next to a picture of Jesus, and I'm not even being funny right now, that's true.
That's the thing.
They won't have enough influence to keep them from being part of the problem eventually.
Like, do you think he cares about you?
No. God, I don't. And
no.
We had a gentleman on named Will Westmoreland. He's a farmer from Missouri. And his thought was, you know, you don't have to tell me that you were wrong. Just tell me that you were lied to. And once you realize that, let's do this. Let's work together. I am not here. I'm not here to or say I told you so. Like that. It doesn't do us any good. The moment you come to the realization that maybe this isn't the mode or version of America you want, that's when we come together and we start working, because right now we're slowly having our options being robbed from us.
It's interesting that, like, they're supposed to be the party of, like, freedom and liberty and, you know, and when those freedoms are taken away, you're cheering it on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, do you not see how those two things are in conflict? You can't be the patriots. I want to have this country and then be silent when all of your rights are being taken away as a citizen.
Yeah. And when
how
you
is that freedom?
And when you hear people online who happily go, well, maybe we need some authoritarianism or some fascism or a dictator. Maybe we need that. Those people are grifters. Those are the people who want to be called out online so they can say they've lost their job. They can set up a GoFundMe and make their rent for the next 10 years. Don't listen to those people. They're not right. If you truly believe in your country and you truly believe in the motto of what we do here, freedom, liberty, justice for all, which is another conversation because terms and conditions apply. But if the same viewpoint you have towards freedom was the same, like, say, 25, 30 years ago, you got to get on board with the fact that this isn't looking right to you. You got to finally admit it. You don't tell me you're wrong. Tell me you were lied to.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is, like, there was a whole document, Project 2025.
Yes.
And people didn't believe it. And we try to warn people and they're like, that's so ridiculous. That can't happen. That's not constitutional. That wasn't the point.
Yeah.
The Constitution clearly doesn't matter to these folks. And we try to warn them. And I've said this before, is that people were willing to be played then listen to Black and brown folks, specifically Black women, when we try to warn them. And now look at where we are.
Yep. We are currently in the FO portion of the story, I feel like. So.
Yep.
So, yeah, we're going to keep the conversation going throughout the day with all of our friends about these topics, as we are pro-democracy. We're here for the discussion. But we're going to turn the discussion to sports with Paul Noonan. There's a left turn right there. Sports with our sports guru, Paul Noonan. He is a writer for the Acme Packing Company, talking all things Packers, Brewers, and other sports that may be happening. I have no idea. But stay here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. West Nile virus has made its way to St. Croix County. Three people have tested positive for the virus there, and two of them had to be hospitalized. People have also tested positive in Barron and Rusk counties. That makes a total of six people with West Nile in northwestern Wisconsin. Some people get it and have no symptoms. Others get sick enough that they have to be in the hospital. West Nile cannot spread from person to person. Most commonly, it's from mosquitoes to people. The Department of Health Services says the best way to prevent yourself from getting sick is to prevent mosquito bites in the first place. Wear long sleeves and long pants, bug spray, and make sure you don't have any standing water on your property. And officials say Wisconsin is a trailblazer in workers' rights. And as Terry Barr reports, there are more opportunities for people to start as apprentices and learn the skills they need to earn a good living in all kinds of fields.
New opportunities are being created in fields from healthcare to aviation. And Wisconsin is leading the way in expanding apprenticeships to shape the future. Here's Amy Pahacek, the state's Workforce Development Secretary.
Our apprentices are making a wage not only for their hands-on work experience while they're learning their craft or their trade, but also for their associated time in the classroom. So while they are studying and learning math and other related academic tools to have their profession and their certifications, they are still getting paid, and that is unique.
State officials are also preparing for challenges and opportunities artificial intelligence, or AI, is already presenting to the workforce. Find more information at dwd.wisconsin.gov.
That story was reported by Terry Barr, and I'm Savannah Tomei Olson, filling in for James Kelly. You're listening to Civic Media News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Daniel Day-Lewis says he would have kept his mouth shut instead of announcing in 2017 that he was retiring from the movie business. During an interview with Rolling Stone, Day-Lewis dismissed his 2017 announcement. The three-time Oscar winner said about his retirement that it just seems like such grandiose gibberish. Day-Lewis added that he never intended to hang it up for good and says he just wanted to focus on other work at the time. His three Best Actor awards for the films There Will Be Blood, My Left Foot, and Lincoln are a record for a male actor. The 68-year-old Lewis said he never stopped loving the actual work, just guessing that The Irishman would be a real challenge to direct, even if you're his son Ronan, who is responsible for convincing dear old dad out of retirement so he could appear in his film Anemone, a story that explores the complexity of relationships between fathers and sons. Daniel also wrote the script with Ronan. You can check out the work of this father-son duo very soon. Anemone will be released October 10th. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. More clouds than sun, comfortable temperatures with highs in the mid to upper 70s. For tonight, chance of a shower or thunderstorm, lows in the upper 50s. On Saturday, a bit of patchy fog early, otherwise mostly sunny with a high near 82. Right now, it's 60 degrees.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The author of Bowling Alone says, let's foster new forms of electronic entertainment and communication that reinforce community engagement. Well, that's Civic Media. That's Up North News, trying to get more of us off the couch, give you good information while you are listening, but then to step up, get out there into your community and bring a friend to the voting booth.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Political editor Dan Schaefer will be in to recombobulate, and we'll review the Packers Thursday night football game. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is currently vacating, relaxing and resting, and will be back before you know it. Word is she might be coming back on Monday. Oh, we have to stick around and find out. But you got me for the rest of the hour, along with Sweet Cal B on the boards, my co-host for today. Our co-host, not mine, our co-host, the community. She belongs to all of us. She belongs to no one. She's her own woman. That's Angela Lang. She is the founder and executive director of Black Leaders Organizing Communities, also a contributor to the Recombobulation Area, for which she has won awards. So she is here all morning with us. And it is Friday, but that's okay. He couldn't come on. Well, he wasn't on Thursday. We had some things going on. We have him here today. It's our sports guru, sports writer from the Acme Packing Company, Mr. Paul Noonan. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I mean, I'm doing great. It's probably good this is on Friday because we got an extra Packer game in. And it was a
2-0 in 4 or 5 days?
Yep, 2-0 in 4 or 5 days. And again, two of the best teams in football from last season.
Yeah.
Things change a lot from year to year. We'll see how. I think the Lions have to be on fraud watch a little bit, but it's also possible the Packers are just a buzzsaw because they haven't just won these last two games. They have absolutely destroyed both teams. Their defense, in particular, has been just an absolute buzzsaw. The Micah Parsons edition, I don't think could be understated in its importance. They really just needed a pass rush to kickstart everybody else after him. Everybody's fast. This is one of the fastest teams in football. Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker are like the fastest linebackers in football. Evan Williams in the safety area is one of the fastest safeties in football. Gary and Lucas Van Ness are two of the most athletic other edge rushers besides Parsons. And once he's pressuring quarterbacks, there's no place to throw. The coverage has been sticky. The Packers have been an offensive-based team for as long as I've been alive. They've had a smattering of good defenses here and there. This may end up being the best defense they've had since like the Lombardi era. They look that good this early.
Okay, so I'm going to ask a question, and I don't mean I'm not a youth. I don't know how the kids talk. I don't know how. I don't want to directly contradict you though, Paul. But in the Acme Packing Company, according to your colleague Justice Mosqueda, said Packers beat Commanders. Yeah, Packers beat Commanders 27-18 in what should have been a blowout. Now, it looked like a comfortable victory when I was catching up. I'm like, all right, they're winning. Great. But apparently,
So Justice is right about that. But that is not because of the defense did anything wrong.
Okay.
Just the 18 points, the Commanders scored a late touchdown. Deebo Samuel got one where the Packers were just trying to run clock. That's not the thing. They left points on the field. Poor Matthew Golden, the Packers' rookie wide receiver, who looks very, very good but hasn't had production to match yet, he had two targets in this game. Both of them were overthrows by Jordan Love. Both of them would have been touchdowns. One was underthrown when he was wide open in the middle of the end zone and should have been an easy touchdown, and one would have been like a 97-yard touchdown that he overthrew by like an inch and a half. Those plays should have worked, frankly. They resulted in, I think, a turnover on downs for the first one. And then there was also just a random holding in the NFL is a call that I feel like officials sometimes make just to keep things interesting, because there's holding on every play. And so you can always call it.
Yeah.
And so they do. On the Packers' third drive, I believe it was, after they had already scored twice, there was a holding penalty that just wasn't. It was one of the rare plays when there was not an actual holding penalty that occurred. And it just doomed the drive. It moved them from 2nd-and-2 to 2nd-and-12. And that drive likely would have resulted in points, too. They left points on the field. I mean, one of the scariest things about this Packer team is that's two games in a row where I think they've left a couple touchdowns on the field just by little tiny issues, little overthrows, little things they did wrong. They can get better. They have dominated these games while not being perfect. Mm-hmm. If they put a perfect game together, like, it's going to be like a 40-point blowout. And I think that's really what Justice meant here.
What I think I understand. I just wanted to start a little tiff because I'm a sassy boy. I feel like, that can be equated to like, well, how long would basketball games be if they called everyone for traveling?
Yeah,
because sometimes I'm like, wow, you're not even trying to bounce the ball right now. You're just walking up to the hoop and just being like, no, I get this because I'm me. There you go. I mean, it's fine to be confident right now. I think, this victory last night, the victory on Sunday, both described as comfortable, good wins. and moving forward, are there any, is there anything that they need to be on the lookout for besides, like, you know, of course, potential injury and injuries that, you know, they really need to keep an eye on moving forward? They don't take their eye off of it so they don't lose sight of what's going on.
So the main thing the Packers have going against them, and the entire NFC North does, they have one of the hardest schedules in football. They don't have a ton of easy games. One of their easier games is their next one against Cleveland. But even Cleveland is pretty good, except for their quarterback play. Cleveland famously employs like five quarterbacks right now. They drafted Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders in the draft and still have Joe Flacco. And they like traded Kenny Pickett. And they lost in week one because of that. But the Packers also did suffer one pretty major injury. Jaden Reed did break his collarbone in this game on a very, very good effort to catch a ball. Did a nice job. He's supposed to be out about 6 to 8 weeks. It's a blow for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, Jaden Reed is an important part of the offense. It is also a part of the offense where they are particularly deep. For all of Jaden Reed's gifts and contributions to the offense, he's limited to play. He's a small guy. He's limited to playing just in the slot, which is the area next to the line of scrimmage. It's where the little shifty guys play. And it's where Matthew Golden will almost certainly just step right into that role. I'm not saying he's as good as Jaden Reed. He's a rookie. You never know. Mm-hmm. But he's as good a backup as you could possibly have to step in there. Their outside receivers are still going to be Dontavian Wicks and Romeo Doubs, who are both off to good starts as well. And as long as they don't suffer additional injuries, they should be in good shape and able to weather this until he gets back, until Reed's back. So that is one thing to keep an eye on. Reed's good. It certainly hurts them, but it's the position where they can absorb injuries the best of any position on the team.
This is one of those moments where I always say this is a reason to watch the live stream, because when Paul said broke their collarbone, both Angela and I both went, because feel it snapping in your body. And you're like, no, this hurts. Calvin, do you have any thoughts?
It's a good injury. It's also an injury that also repeats itself. When he comes back, it's worth keeping an eye on. Collarbones are one of the bones that do not heal stronger, and they are vulnerable after you break them once. So it's worth keeping an eye on that, too.
Calvin, any thoughts you have on what's going on?
Well, I guess just more of a question as sort of an aside about the Packers receiving depth. Is there any chance that Christian Watson is going to play this season?
So there is probably a chance, but it won't be until very, very late. For those who don't know, Christian Watson at the end of last season suffered a pretty catastrophic knee injury. The Packers did just extend him this last week. He was going to be basically a free agent at the end of the season, and both the Packers and Christian Watson don't really want that. Nobody's going to pay for a receiver with the kind of injury he had until he shows that he can recover from it. And the Packers honestly could use Christian Watson. They still lack for deep threats a little bit. Romeo's been good so far, but it's not really his wheelhouse. And so they signed kind of a prove-it contract for next year. The timeline for the level of knee injury he has can be up to a full year. And it's just really monitoring how he progresses. If he is back, it probably won't be until like November at the earliest, more likely December. And it is entirely possible he just misses the whole season. It was a bad one. There was a lot of damage to a lot of ligaments in that knee, and it's a long recovery period. So it'd be nice if they got him back like in time for the playoffs. He is a difference maker, but it's very speculative on how really you won't know how he recovers until he actually gets back out there and starts running. He's done a little bit. He's looked good so far, but there's still a ways to go.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Paul Noonan, who is our sports guru here on Matt and Air on Air. He comes by every week to talk about all things sports balls and football and basketball and baseball and all the things happening. We're talking about the Packers win yesterday against the Washington Commanders. And Angela, I think you and I are in the same realm of football fandom. Like, we like football. We'll watch it. It's not our driving sport. But like as a casual Packer fan, just seeing the victories, you're like, this just makes my day brighter.
Yeah, it's great. Also, my big thing is as long as we beat the Bears, I'm good. It's a good season if we beat the Bears. Bears still suck. That's it.
There you go. Put that in the headlines. As long as we beat the Bears, Angela Lang is fine.
I am. I'm happy.
Yep. We got some revenge to get there, too. I mean, they were not good against the Bears last season. They the one they won was on a blocked field goal on the last play of the game. So, you know, it'd be nice to actually not hurt them physically, but beat them by a significant amount this year.
We would like to defeat them on the battlefield of the squared rectangle. So
they are a mess so far, by the way. So
of course they are, Paul. No matter what a Bears fan tells me in the preseason, never.
It is amazing how much history repeats itself with the Bears. I know the Bears are a ways away here, but right before this, they drafted a quarterback in Justin Fields. They had a bad offensive line. And Justin, to his credit, is having a really good season with the Jets, has been a fun quarterback for other teams. But his big problem in college was he took too many sacks. We have good metrics on this specifically, which is if your pressure to sack ratio is above 25%, you probably can't play in the NFL. And his was. It was like close to 30. It was just a problem he had. He's very fast. He's fun. The Jets have done. They get rid of him. They move on. They draft Caleb Williams. Again, same thing. Pressure to sack rate, 25%. Haven't fixed the offensive line. He comes in and he gets his brains beaten in for a year. Whatever. Bad offensive coordinator. But like, they just. History repeats itself for the Bears like no other team. It's the same thing every single time. They stagger offensive coordinators and coaches and quarterbacks. Nobody's ever on the same page. They seem to not know what they're doing in the front office. I love them. They're the best. It's like having it's Cobra Commander or Skeletor for people.
Until we meet again. Villain.
Yep. Incompetent villain that you just love to be.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't know who's the bigger dolt in this situation. The fans who every preseason say, this is it. We got the quarterback. Or me who says, maybe they're right. Maybe it is their year. Because before the sentence gets out of their mouth, they're out of the running.
They are. I like their head coach. I actually think that the game they called against the Vikings was pretty good. It's just their players had no ability to execute it at all.
That's kind of part of
never change Bears.
Part of it.
We love you, Bears. Apparently, you're moving out of the city, so we'll have more about that information too. I guess I know there's been a plan to put them at the old Arlington horse racing track. I don't know if that's going to be the specific spot, but they're going to move them away out of Soldier Field, next to the most unparkable venue in America.
I'm not going to believe I don't like Soldier Field. I'm not going to believe that till it's done, though. They bought the land there. They own the Arlington racetrack now.
Yeah.
However, they're still trying to get public money, and
of course.
Nobody's really willing to give them public money.
No.
Not Arlington Heights, not the city. It's not the best time in America to be asking for public money for sports stadia, and so that is still very much in flux.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
Again, really, really quick.
Yeah.
Just further bear incompetence. If you are trying to get public money, you need to play a different state off of your current state. You can't have the state of Illinois bargaining against the state of Illinois for moving 20 miles. You know, that doesn't work. They can just say no. What are you going to do? You didn't threaten to go to Indiana or anywhere else. You know, you threatened to stay where you are.
Yeah. We're going to go 4 train stops that way. If you don't help us, all right. I want to actually. I can't wait for you to come back because I actually want to start with this next time. I want to start it with Bears City municipal bonding issues. But Paul Noonan is one of our sports gurus here every other Thursday usually. But you're great enough to join us Friday, Paul. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great weekend.
Thanks for having me. You too.
Don't go anywhere. When we wrap up the show, it's going to be with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. There once was a party in Nantucket edition. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. There's no better place to catch Brewers baseball than right here. Every pitch, every hit, every home run.
And a fly ball to right center. Malloy is back, and this one is going again for Hoskins.
We've got the action all season long. Turn it up. Brewers baseball lives on your local Civic Media radio station. 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and your home for the Brewers.
My doctor told me my cholesterol is borderline, so I took control with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula. Garlique helps maintain healthy cholesterol safely and naturally. It's odor and taste-free, and Garlique is a world leader in garlic potency. I'm taking charge of my cholesterol with Garlique Healthy Cholesterol Formula, cholesterol's natural enemy.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The term natural reference is only the garlic in the product. Use as directed.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government fighting for the people. September 4th, Native Nations asked the U.S. Supreme Court to uphold the longstanding right of individuals to bring voting rights complaints to federal court. If the High Court takes the case, its decision could have consequences for voting rights protections under the Voting Rights Act. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians and the Spirit Lake Nation negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts which didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit Court decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. The decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the VRA. Of 450 VRA Section 2 cases since 1982, only 18 were brought by DOJ. May 14th, a three-judge appeals panel affirmed that decision, but still only for the Eighth Circuit. After a July 15th stay, the nations asked the High Court on September 4th to take the case. Spirit Lake Nation Chair Lana Jackson Street said, "It is shameful that when we succeeded in court and got a fair map in place, the state turned its attack toward the Voting Rights Act and a person's right to vote free from discrimination. We need the Supreme Court to protect our fundamental right to vote and be heard." We have our past reports on the case at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinaire on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matinaire, who is currently vacating, but will be back on Monday. I know. You missed her. I missed her. She'll be back on Monday, and we're happy to have her back. But for right now, you have me, you have Sweet Cal B on the boards, and you have Angela Lang, who is a writer, organizer. She is the executive director and the founder of Black Leaders Organizing Community. She has been my co-host all morning long. Thank you so much, Angela, for being here today. I always love having you on the show and having a chance to speak with you on all the topics that you and I have a lot of opinions on.
Indeed. And always, thanks for having me.
Yeah. A couple of things before we get into Tisbat. First of all, I just want to share with some a story that I saw come across, because this has to do with what we were talking about earlier. Apparently on Fox and Friends, President Trump says he's going to be sending troops into Memphis. It is a deeply troubled city, and I'm sure you will hear more discussion on that point throughout the day here on Civic Media and throughout the days ahead and weeks ahead, because he's just sending troops everywhere. And also a clarification really quick. I've been saying all morning that I know it's maybe small, but it's important that a family member turned in Tyler Robinson to the police. He is the person who is suspected of shooting Charlie Kirk. He is the suspect in custody on suspicions of the shooting death of Charlie Kirk on Wednesday. It was a family friend who turned him in when they saw him on television. I just wanted to make that point clear, because I never want even the smallest detail to be misconstrued. But we want you to keep it locked in here all day long. We want you to keep on listening, because we're going to be talking about all these issues, and it's important conversations. We've got great programming coming through. We got Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba from 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6, Pete Schwabe with Nightlight from 6 to 8, and all those shows, you're going to have a chance to enter into the Civic Media Free Ticket Friday. Get your Civic Media app out right now. Text in the word FAMILY, F-A-M-I-L-Y, on your Civic Media app, and you are entered in to win a four-pack of club-level seats to see the Brewers take on the Anaheim Angels on September the 18th. That's right. Text it in now. You'll have more chances throughout the day. Good luck. Godspeed. Take pictures. Send them to us on the Civic Media app. Boom. Branding. Calvin, it is 10:55. Again, I talk too much, and I apologize. It is time for...
This shouldn't be
a thing.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it on into Calvin, Jane, and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S at civicmedia.us. Today's Tisback comes by the way of, let's see here, it says, Boston 25 News, your local station. That's very vague, but here is the title. Frank O'Loughlin has the byline, cocaine levels in Nantucket sewage 50% above U.S. average, health data reveals. That title alone prompts so many questions.
Yes.
First of all, what are the parties I'm not being invited to in Nantucket?
I was like, what kind of parties are they throwing?
Yeah. Data from a wastewater surveillance initiative that tracks the presence of high-risk substances in Nantucket sewage revealed cocaine levels that, at times, have checked in at 50% higher than the national average. Second question, we have a national average of cocaine in our water?
Okay, my question is, I didn't know we test wastewater for drugs. Like, yeah. That was news to me when I was reading that. I'm like, how would they know? Oh, we test for that. So that was the more you know. We test water.
I got my uncle like at that. Thanksgiving telling me how fluoride's the problem. We've got coke in our water. Apparently way more in Nantucket. And there's an average, and Nantucket is 50% above that average. I mean, let's face it. Angela, we've all been there. You're sitting at a party in Nantucket, like a nice view of the water. You're just kicking up. You're like, hey, you guys want to talk about politics? Or no, you want to do some booger sugar?
And the answer, my friends, is always no.
Correct. Just say no. Very, very important. But
say no.
Yeah.
I understand. People do things recreationally. Mm-hmm. Not my jam, but, you know, Fine. That's not recreational. If
it's
50% above the national average.
No, like, that
that's
water
not a here and there thing.
That water can be arrested for intent to sell. I mean, my goodness, that's absolutely criminal water. But send the troops into the water.
That water is moving weight.
We'll definitely keep our nose to the grindstone on this story with any updates. Calvin?
One thing I found interesting about the article is, while cocaine was 50% above the national average, methamphetamine and fentanyl levels were below the average. So
I saw that.
They're partying. They're just apparently not relaxing much. I don't know.
No, they need to paint a deck or write a screenplay or something, because they're Motley Crue partying up in Nantucket. That's what they're doing, let me tell you. So, but we'll keep our eyes on this story as it develops, because you never know. It's important to keep your eye on the news. Thank you, Boston, for that local news update. That is another edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As I said before, Jane will be back on Monday. I'm going to take a moment here to say thank you to everyone. Thank you to Calvin. Thank you to traffic. Thank you to engineering. Without you, this show doesn't happen, doesn't get out on the airwaves. So thank you so much for your help. I want to thank the listeners, the viewers, texters, callers, commentators, whether we agree or disagree. Without you, there's no us, and I appreciate you. I want to thank Angela Lang for being my co-host twice during my time here hosting. I want to thank Dan Schaefer. I want to thank Jim Chantel. I want to thank Luke Mathers. I want to thank Dr. Kristen Lyerly. There's a whole host of people, but I want to thank everyone who helped make this possible while I was at the helm, because without you also, I can't do this, and I appreciate everything you bring to the table. Your opinions, your beauty, your light, your smarts, your funnies, and I can't say thank you enough. But we're going to take ourselves a small moment to grab some water. When we come back, it'll be news, and it'll be Tom Hartman. He's taking over from 11 to 2, and there'll be another chance to win some tickets to see the Brewers. Text in the word family on the Civic Media app. You got about 45 seconds left. Until then, I want to say take care. You are absolutely awesome. Let no one tell you differently. Have a fantastic weekend. Stay safe. Stay amazing. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media. Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bye-bye.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. FBI Director Kash Patel says the suspect in the Charlie Kirk murder was arrested in record time.
In less than 36 hours, 33 to be precise, thanks to the full weight of the federal government and leading out with the partners here in the state of Utah and Governor Cox, the suspect was apprehended in a historic time period.
In custody, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson, who lives in South Utah, about 300 miles from the scene of the shooting. Robinson's family members were the ones who contacted authorities. Utah Governor Spencer Cox with more on the messages found on the shell casings that police found on scene.
Inscriptions on a fired casing read, "Notices bulges, capital O-W-O, what's this question mark?" Inscriptions on the three unfired casings read, "Hey, fascist, exclamation point, catch, exclamation point.
This is